SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And tropical storm. Yeah, okay. that was no tropical storm. That was a serious and damaging series of, I guess it was different everywhere it came through, but if you haven't seen images from, particularly from Long Island, at Belmont, trees uprooted, knock on wood, no injuries that we know of anyway, but I'm sure somewhere there had to be. And there's some aftermath to deal with as well. Delaware is canceled today. That word coming early on. I spoke to Mike Arrow at Philadelphia this morning. He said the track's beautiful. Absolutely, after yesterday, he said everybody was out training and all good there. Called Mike to extend, if you heard yesterday, acknowledging the passing of his father at age 90. And I hadn't had a chance to call him, so I called him this morning. And up here, we're off the turf, which we kind of expected. And races 3, 9, and 10. And, of course, the handicap race, we talked to Bill Gallo yesterday, postponed until next Thursday. So that good group will have to wait, and hopefully they all reassemble when they draw. Of course, today it's Travers draw, 11 o'clock, and keep an eye out for that as they put the field together. We'll talk about it with Sid. Join us hour two, of course. Go over the pedigree part of this, and who was I talking to the other day that in a typical year when it comes to Derby, we spend months and months, literally from Breeders' Cup, from the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, where the horses hadn't even galloped out, and and we're discussing pedigrees for 10 furlongs. And, so that goes on for, 6 months leading up to a typical May Derby. In this case, we've got the Travers is going to be the first domestic mile and a quarter. And we're going to have literally, 48 hours, 60 hours to discuss it. That's kind of funny. So right now, the field of eight, as expected, 'tis the law. Uncle Chuck, you just listened to Bob Baffert. If you're listening, if you listen to the replay, Caracaro coming out of the Peter Pan, the very good effort in the Peter Pan. Country Grammar, the winner, our friend Paul Pompa. First Line, the recent maiden winner for the Noda Brothers, Max Player. I talked to Linda Rice last week, and Chivalry in South Bend. South Bend, new to the barn of Bill Mott, and Chivalry coming up from Florida for Ralph Nixon and Fred Bry. So we'll rely on Sid to go through this group And just glancing at this set, and of course, Country Grammar's has had his share of mile and an eighth tries, actually. And 'tis the law. 'Tis the law as well. He's had two. So, and Uncle Chuck, the Los Al Derby, mile and an eighth. So, I don't think there's anybody. Yeah, everybody involved. How long was that race? How long was that race of that first line won? Yeah, look, I'm going to glance at that, actually, because I'm not, was it a mile? And that's not going to help me because it's Del Mar. But let's see if he's, has he gone? Was that a mile and an eighth, too? As we look back here, trying to catch first line anyway. So most of them have gone nine furlongs, and so that 10th furlong, that's a lot of times the deciding factor, of course. So we'll see what Sid thinks. The rest of Saturday that's going to come together, of course, with the Ballerina, the test, which, you know, seemingly is pinning Venetian Harbor and Gamine and a few others. So looking forward to it. Looking forward to Travers Day, which is just so, it's on the heels of Whitney. It's just so odd. So odd. But we're adjusting to everything that comes at us, right? That's what you can do. Looking forward to Dave Grenig end of the week, too, and getting Dave's perspective. He actually busy reporting on what else is in the offing, and there's a few little tidbits, actually, that in getting out ahead of Travers coverage, noted that for next week's Alabama, Paris Lights, one of the two Windstar stablemates, one of their horses, he's got a hock, little filling, and she's going to have to bypass the Alabama. But the other Windstar stablemate, Crystal Ball, she's okay to go. That's one horse I didn't bring up with Baffert yesterday. We only had 20 minutes, but Swiss Skydiver. And even though Mott can't send Paris Lights, Antoinette or Harvey's Little Goyle, she coming back from the turf win. So the Alabama next week. And that's in its normal, that's in its predictable spot, pretty much, the Alabama. There was the third Saturday, in this case, of August. So other than Travers being in this unique spot. So, and then we'll get the handicapping tomorrow for Thursday and Friday. Speaking of handicapping, Nick hasn't, I don't have today's analysis up yet, but hang in there. I'm sure Nick was waiting for the turf decisions to fill out those three races. The third race, which is a state bred allowance, that was going to be 5.5 on the turf, that'll stay at 5.5 in terms of distance. And then the two turf races that were ending the card, the second level allowance for fillies and mares, that goes on the main track to 9 furlongs. When they're looking at a mile and a 16th on the grass, they stretch out to a mile and an eighth on the main. And that's true for the filly and mare maiden 40 state breds. They'll go a mile and an eighth. You know, and notably, nobody got out in front in those two races. There is an MTO for John Terranova, 3 jokers in that third race, but no MTOs in those two races. And that surprises me, because we pretty much knew when they were drawing this Wednesday card, kind of the knowledge of that storm was you know, pretty well out there. So nobody tried to sneak in there and take advantage of what might have been an MTO. A few things that we can look forward to. In addition to Sid, Vincent DiPaolo, we're going to have, I think, a couple of NHC conversations. Sally Goodall expected later in the show as well. Sally ended up annexing the first half tour. She wins a BCBC seat, and we'll give you all the details of that leaderboard, but one of the absolute perennials, one of the great contest players and NHC stars for years, Sally Goodall. Didn't, no surprise to see her take the first half, and I'll give you some of the other names. Vincent DiPaolo is going to join us in the first hour, and Vincent on Long Island, we'll see how he fared with the storm, but he certainly fared all right on Saturday, the Whitney Challenge, and I'm very curious. I haven't seen yet what he did in that nightcap. Marshall Graham was going into the nightcap, the Caress, leading, and Vincent had to have just absolutely clobbered that nightcap, the Caress, because he leapfrogged and, you know, ended up winning by like $4,000. Kariba, you know, was a $10 horse. So, you know, with Jakarta second, Sweet By and By, who I latched on to, I was trying to get Sweet By and By into a higher placing in that in the stake. But I'm very curious what he, because whatever he did, he absolutely smashed it. So we'll talk to Vincent DiPaolo, and I've seen his name many times on the leaderboards. Speaking of contest scene, I want to mention 3 weeks in the book now on our Beat Pick contest. So far, 599 qualifiers. So, you know, essentially averaging 50 winners a shot. And Saturday, 95 winners latched on to Echo Town. Of those 95 winners, a little under half were qualifiers. So half of you had already qualified out of that 95. 871 played. And that was a great race, I thought, a great race to use for the contest. And there were so many different ways to go in that Alan Jerkins. And then on Sunday, when we went out to, you know, the much more compact field in the San Clemente, and 774 played, 156 winners. But, you know, it's a much smaller field, obviously, with Fighting Mad winning and CC and Ollie's Candy and Hard Not to Love, and 48 more qualifiers. Another 14 signed up last week for the tour, so 30 new tour members so far. And it looks like another 6 added to the qualifier already this week. So good job. And we got the rest of the month. And plenty of opportunity to win your way into the final. And, of course, keep playing, even if you've already qualified for the final. Keep playing because you've got the opportunity to take down some very nice credits for horseplayers.com, right? Let's take a look at a couple of yesterday's results. And actually, I also had some things from the weekend that we hadn't got to. We had that nice conversation with Farron Peterson after her 4-win day at Monmouth. I needed to mention, or I failed to mention, Trevor McCarthy won 5 at Colonial on Sunday. So good job, Trevor. Very nice. I sent it out on Twitter. Jerome Learmonth broke a collarbone. He's out. Got to think collarbone at least 6 weeks. Whenever you see a, whenever there's a jockey breaking collarbones, it always makes me think of the scene in Luck when Rodney Jenkins, the Gary Stevens played jock, falls and breaks his collarbone or separates his shoulder. Whatever, I think he breaks his collarbone. And he exclaims that he breaks it more than than he gets to do some other things. That's an injury that gotta think almost every jock and exercise rider has broken a collarbone or separated a shoulder at one point or another. You know, speaking of the other day, Monday, I didn't see that Assiniboia was going to, you know, they had that force out on their pick five of their high five, super high five. And the thing took in a half million. And boy, oh boy, you had to be pretty clever. The 4-5 favorite was off the board for starters. It was a nickel non-winners at two. But you had a 9-1 winner, a 23-1, a 7-1, a 23-1, and a 9-2, and a handful of people paid $16,000, and quite a few people actually managed to find it. Speaking of finding some tough winners, yesterday Canterbury, the pick five, $24,000. 235, three winners. You had a $12.80 that beat a 3-5, a $37.80, a $22.20, Tony Rengsdorf, then two favorites. Not easy. That was a tough sequence yesterday. Much more formful at Indiana yesterday, and of course we talked to Bill Downs about today's state card. $177 yesterday with three favorites, a second choice, and it actually was the off-the-turf race that threw people off. The two MTOs were 7th and 8th. Go figure. Take a break. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ah, Saratoga. It's history. It's tradition. It's world-class racing. It's jump racing. Yes, steeplechase racing has played a role in Saratoga's rich history and tradition since 1864. And today, it's a part of what makes Saratoga so special. Watch every Wednesday of the meet and two special Thursdays featuring the Grade 1 AP Smithick on July 23rd and the Grade 1 New York Turf Riders Cup on August 20th. Savor the thrill of horses flying over fences. Steeplechase racing, it's a Saratoga tradition.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, and about 20 minutes in, a couple of passings, actually, and I saw two, and one equine, one human, not necessarily racing-related, but I'll bring this up with Sid Hattrick. Hattrick, word coming from Monday. At 19, he stood in Brazil, but plenty of horses in recent years, and I know Mrs. Weber liked Hattrick, and bred to him. 34 black type winners, and they're in both hemispheres. So let's talk a little bit. It's too bad. Hattrick, 19. Seems like that's funny. 19, which you realize, he still had seasons to cover. Died suddenly, and of course was a son of Sunday Silence. But it was the shuttle. We've talked about this before. The shuttling. It sure seems like when they shuttle these horses, these stallions around, they seem to take a toll on them. And don't forget, not to mention the physical strain of covering mares essentially year round, in two seasons. It's a strenuous enterprise. Huh. Well, let's talk about Hattrick. That's tough. Pete Hamill, I'll mention, word circulating, the institution, on the political, more or less, political and social front, one of the really big names. And I didn't realize he was, it just feels like 85. He feels like he'd been around forever, essentially. Pete Hamill, had a fall, I guess, and, there's quite a few, certainly quite a few sports and racing writers, turf writers who undoubtedly, worked alongside him at the Post and at the Daily News. And you think about, he sort of was the kind of the, it's not fair to, I don't want to call him an heir to Jimmy Breslin, but certainly a contemporary. You know, their careers overlapped for an extended period. Pete Hamill. I'm sure you'll see that. You'll see that all over the place. Couple of calendar notes before we reach for Vince DiPaolo. Del Mar, and this figures in somewhat, I think, to what's going on with Churchill and their final decisions about the jocks having to come in as much as 10 days before the racing, Derby week. And Del Mar, between Labor Day and now a second makeup day, August 31st. So there's now, when it comes to the decisions that jocks are going to make and their agents, there's going to be 8 racing days potentially missed. And so in terms of taking calls, the West Coast jocks have, and I suppose guys could get back to Del Mar if they rode in Kentucky. But you would think that once you made that commitment to come to Kentucky, wouldn't you probably stay around and ride at Kentucky Downs at that point? And that's going to figure into this, you would think. But Del Mar adding a August 31st 10 race card. So there'll be another Monday Del Mar card that jocks will get to ride. So that's going to contribute to the decision-making. Then, of course, at Saratoga, you're talking Wednesday to Sunday, you know, 5-day calendar, and so 10 days of racing, and essentially, and really 11 when you fold in Labor Day. So I don't know. I don't know how this, we'll see. We'll see what the decision could come as early as today, and announcements from Churchill regarding what they want to do and what they're going to ask jocks to do in terms of, I don't want to get Baffert worked up, but protocol. That was funny. Watch the newswire, as it were, for that. And also on a scheduling note, and I do have to reach out to Brian Aragone or Jeff Madej about some Canterbury action. The schedule shift there too. They're going to near the end of the meet, they're going to take 2 Mondays and flop them on the back end, Monday and a Tuesday, to Thursday, which has been their best day. And actually, you heard as well from yesterday from Bill Downs. Similarly, they've had a terrific, the handling again yesterday, 1.4 million at Canterbury, 2.2, I think, at Indiana. I mean, there is no way to argue against the aftermath of March, April, early May, and the habit and practice of players looking at the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday action. There is no doubt. I'm doing it myself. I've said that repeatedly. So that's a big, to me, a big part of this handle story. And you know, I know that there's the people out there that analyze, you know, the handle numbers. You know, there's the concern or the storyline that you know, handle is really a static amount. You know, they're kind of just treading water. And it's a question of shifting sands, essentially, you know, some handle moving, you know, different parts of the week. But the numbers are obviously up, and we continue as a wagering enterprise, an opportunity to be the only, you know, the proverbial only game in town. Yes, there's baseball, hockey, basketball that are participating, and but it's, I don't know, it seems pretty herky jerky with, you know, cancellations, baseball struggling, obviously, and we'll see how, you know, we'll see how things unfold. I mean, you had today, apparently, already this morning, you had another college football program, UConn, abandoning, you know, the season. So, and there's plenty of people who don't think the NFL is going to be able to pull off what they're hoping to pull off in terms of a season. So I think, obviously, when you look at the, you know, what are coming back as, you know, as a handle boost, there's either people that are new that are playing, or there's people that play and are betting a little bit more and betting other parts of the week, and instead of just, you know, weekend warrior-ing. I mean, the numbers at Saratoga are outstanding. I mean, they're outpacing, you know, last year with patron by, you know, considerable amount, and you know, that was the storyline that Naira was compelled to come up here to that was a big part of what, you know, what brought them here, and you know, the insistence that the business was going to be that much better up here than downstate. So anyway, to me, one of the most amazing things that's happened is the Monday-Tuesday, the interest in the Monday and Tuesday cards. And, you know, the racing's been engaging, to say the least. You know, today's midweek and Saratoga resumes. But Yesterday and Monday, both terrific. I know we're having, there appears to be something going on the stream. So whenever this happens, I can only say to people, there's no problem on SiriusXM. With all due respect, if you could buy a radio, buy a subscription to the radio. We rarely have an issue when it comes to this on Sirius. Yeah, let's get Vincent in here and talk about his weekend and his terrific performance. Took down the Whitney Challenge, and there's another, you know, of course there's another contest this week with Travers, and we'll get you those details as well, online obviously, and you should have another terrific card of action to attack, you know, in addition to the stakes. And let's see how the rest of the stakes come up, and I'll decide. I'm anxious to see what there is for me on the contest front, what I'm going to pick. Maybe I should go to Ohio, go to Thistledown. I got an early greeting from Ron Paolucci this morning. Luch said, there's the Best of Ohio card. And there is $500,000 up for grabs. $500,000 stakes at Thistledown. They drew that card yesterday, and it's quite nice. Quite nice. You got the 2-year-olds in the kindergarten, and there's the Miss Ohio. That's for the fillies, and the Honey Jay, 3 and ups, short. There's the pay the man, Phillies and Mares going a mile and an eighth, and then the Buckeye Cup, the Governor's Buckeye Cup, the $100,000. Big one, mile and a quarter. And that's got a nice field, including Luch's Mo Don't Know, but also Verissimo. Looking around, look at this. Boy, Radosevich. this thing is ripe with Radosevich entrance. One, two, three, four of them. How about that? And Tim Ham. All the usual suspects are here. Tim Ham. Dr. Gorham, and how about Uriah St. Louis shows up? He's done this before. He's invaded Ohio before. Uriah, good job. He brings Forewarned out to Cleveland. So best of Ohio on Saturday. Well, let me turn and welcome Vince DiPaolo in. And Vince rose to the top. Like a bobber on a fly fisherman's line. And Marshall Graham seemed to be pacing toward the challenge win on Saturday. And I kept refreshing, waiting to see what happened in the final race, in the caress. And there was Vince DiPaolo. Vince, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You must have absolutely hit it hard and wide, because you ended up, you know, winning what, by 4,000, 5,000?
Yeah, well, it was big. The race before, when I got put up on Cross Border, I had 1,000 to win on Cross Border.
Wow.
Yeah, so that enabled me, after with one race left, I was in second place with a $1,300 cushion for second place. So I was able to, I ended up wagering maybe about $600 or $700 in the last race, and you know I loved Clement and Irad. You know that horse was making his third start for Christoph Caribe, and leading jockey, leading trainer. I loved the 9 horse, so I keyed him on top with a bunch of horses underneath in the triple. I ended up having a $10 triple and $100 to win on the horse. So that's how it happened.
That is how it happened, because I know from Sweet By and By, who I was kind of on board with her, and so you know I know that. I'm just going to pull up the chart. I've had it sitting here all week, and now I've moved it. But hold on, give me a second. Here we go, and. This thing had to pay handsomely, because Sweet By and By was 11-1, 9-1 for Jakarta, and it was Delica who going into the card, Al Stahl seemed primed for a huge day, and it was very disappointing. But the triple paid $480.
Yeah, for a dollar. So I had that a dollar 10 times. So I probably got back $4,800 there and $100 on the win bet. So it worked out great. I was able to catch two horses underneath with the favorite out. That's why I came back so good.
Unbelievable. What had you done during the day to this format and the ability, you know, the ability to sort of, you know, stay alive essentially, and you know, keep. Just, you know, make sure you've got enough bankroll for the end game, you know, to be viable. How'd the rest of the day go?
Yeah, the rest of the day was, you know, I was just hanging around, and you know, I had $250 to win on Chad Brown's horse in the second race, and he got nosed out. So, you know, I started my day saying, "Here we go again with the second itis." But then I really liked Fetatious for Jack Sisterton. The horse was making his fourth start off the layoff, and he improved in his second and third start, and I saw improvement again, and the horse ran a huge race at the distance at Saratoga last year. I didn't think he would beat Baisu, but I took a $200 cold exacta with Baisu on top, and then I had a $50 exacta the other way. So that gave me a few dollars to play with. And I really loved Everfast. I had Everfast at 26-1, and he almost beat Owendale two starts back. And then he came back with a turf race. So off the turf, I had a feeling he was going to run back to his dirt race. If he ran back to his dirt race where he almost beat Owendale, he was going to destroy that field with Joel. So I love that horse. I think I had a couple hundred to win on him. So I was hanging around. I wasn't really moving up. But then, you know, when I got put up on Cross Border, I knew if I put 1,000 to win on Cross Border at 2-1, it was going to get me close to the leader. And then he got a terrible ride. He got a terrible start, I mean, and then Jose just relaxed him. And we got lucky there, and we got put up there, and that was a blessing, I guess. So I have to thank God, and I was very lucky. This is my first contest win. I've been doing them for over 10 years, and, you know, finally great to take it all down.
Oh, that's tremendous. And for those that, you know, for those that hadn't seen the format, it was 250 to race per race on 10 races on the card. So you had, yes, you know, you had some leeway in terms of, you know, picking the spots. Did you avoid that opener, the 2-year-olds?
You know what it is? I got to my location a little bit late and there was confusion, so I didn't make a play there in the first race. So I had about 10 out of 12, so I laid off that one. And then, you know, I think I bet another race where I only bet $100. So every other race, I bet a minimum of at least $250.
Well, and you obviously zeroing in on some winners. What'd you do out of curiosity? Yeah, there were the two back-to-back maiden specials, Vince, in the middle of the card. And, you know, frankly, Mystery Bank, the 8-1 winner for the Notas, was a mystery to me. But Shoddy, that first time starter of Georgia Bros and Larry Goichman, the Goichman homebred, I liked Shoddy.
Nice.
What'd you do in those middle maidens?
Yeah, the Shoddy race, I didn't care for, and so I loved Everfast, so I wheeled Everfast in the double. I put Everfast with all, you know, hoping to catch a bomb there. So I caught Shoddy. I think the double came back maybe $46. I had I think it was $10 or $20 doubles, whatever I had. So I kind of didn't play the Shoddy race. I think I only bet like $100 on it because I was alive in the doubles room for a bomb, and I think I just bet the under the minimum in that race.
Interesting. And I'm just looking. Yeah, you were not going to. You got the longest price of the single digit prices. He was the longest at 6-1. The other three were under 3-1. Modern Science was 5-2. King of Miami was 5-2. And Habitus was, actually, it's funny, Habitus ended up not going favored. That was the Graham Motion on the outside.
Yeah.
But that surprises
Graham's 0-9 at the meet, and you know, and if you look, Abreu, he won with a first time starter last week, and he's 26% first out. So I know he's dangerous, but I didn't. Again, that race, I just, you know, I took all hoping for a bomb, and I just got by. Another key race for me was Improbable. I loved Improbable, so I had I had 200 to win on him, and I had a cold exacta with Jose underneath the, I boxed the Ortiz brothers. So that was a big race for me. I think that race got me into second, or got me into the top five.
Well, and of course, in this spot, even money on Tom's de Tot, 3-1 plus on Improbable, and 11-2 on By My Standards. And you ended up here with for $2, a $38 exacta.
Yeah, I know. I think the exacta came back $76, and I had the exactor for, you know, $25 exactor, I think, and I had 200 to win on Improbable. So that race got me into the top five. And then I, you know, now I'm saying, you know, now you got to risk more than 250 because there's so much at stake with the prize pool. You know, to win it, you were getting the Breeders' Cup and the Belmont seat, so you're getting $20,000 worth of seats. That's where I strategically said, well, I like Cross Border. I couldn't figure out an exactor, so I just, you know,
that's
said,
great.
Let me put 1,000 to win. Yeah.
How about that? Unbelievable. And you get
we got lucky. We got lucky, though. We
Jesus.
Got lucky. I'm blessed. Grateful.
What'd you do in the Alan Jerkins?
The Alan Jerkins, who,
Echotown? Echotown, tap it to win, no parole?
Yeah, I lost. I lost that race. I used Echotown, but I didn't have, tap it to win.
Tap it to win.
Yeah, I boxed a few horses, but I left out tap it to win. I liked the three technique there, and he didn't fire, so I lost that race, and then we came back across border.
Unbelievable, and then into the nightcap, and actually, because I've got the final numbers back in front of me. I sent out the congratulations on Sunday. Are you on Twitter? Because I couldn't find you.
Yeah, I'm not a big I got a wife and kids. I do this, and you know, it's like my father. We grew up watching the horses, so. You know, I don't promote what I do.
I have
a Twitter account, but I don't. I'm not on Twitter that much. You know, I'm barely on it. I used to be known as Game Day God. You'll find me on Twitter as that.
Okay, because I poked around, and because usually, you know, with veteran players, and I said earlier, I had seen your name on the leaderboards on the contest site, and so, you know, I know you play, and a lot of times they'll know, you know, Eric Wing or you know, the somebody,
yeah, I get his blog, I get his thing, I get your stuff, so I just don't. I don't know.
That's
I
fine.
Don't promote too much on social media.
That's fine. You don't have to. But I sent out the leaderboard, and it ended up final numbers 10,109 for Vince and Marshall Graham, 5,952. John Owens, 5,823. Bill Rendino, 4,032. And Steve Davison, 3,800. That was the top five. And
nice.
So you get the bankroll. Obviously, you know, you started with the 2,500. So you make 7,500 plus there. And then there's the two big prizes.
Yes. Yeah. So, the prize pool was, they only did get 37 at the end. So, the first place was 21,700.
Nice.
And, you know, more importantly, I got a cup in the Breeders' Cup Challenge and the Belmont Challenge.
Excellent. And, of course, 10,000, that's worth 10,000 on both ends. So, boy, when you add everything together, it was a $50,000 day.
Yeah, not bad, right?
not bad.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. You know, you mentioned, you know, I get the sense that, you know, you've been playing and you got, you know, taken to the track early. You talk a little bit about your evolution as a player and your methods. What do you like to use?
Yeah, well, I mean, I appreciate that. Giving me time to talk. So, basically, my father, you know, he worked in Brooklyn manufacturing statues. And his boss happened to own horses, so he got introduced to the game that way. And
wow.
they were all his horses were trained by Johnny Campo. So when Johnny Campo, when he won with Pleasant Colony, you know, my father, they were very close because they had a lot of horses together. So my father's like, oh, bet Pleasant Colony in the Wood Memorial. You know, I think I was like a 10-year-old kid at the time, and I'm like, God, Daddy's got no chance. And Pleasant Colony won the Wood at like 20-something to 1, and my father, you know, they had him big, and you know, he brought me to the track when I was 5 years old. I remember going, so you know, he'd be very proud of me, looking over me, you know, that I won this, and I started doing contests, you know, back in you know, I live 10 minutes from Belmont Park, so you know, Belmont started having the kind of challenges a long time ago. You had to fill them out by hand and bring them in. Now everything's digitalized, so it's much easier. But I just love the horses. So you know, the Derby, the Belmont. I go to the Belmont every year, and that's it. I mean, I really, my methods. I love speed. I handicap the speed. I love like. Third starter with the layoff, even fourth starter with the layoff, when with improvement on the numbers. I love those angles. Those are my two favorite angles. And, of course, I always play if you're in New York, you got to play the Ortiz brothers. I'm all over these guys. You know, I take a second look at all their mounts, and you know, that's why I really was high on. I was high on Improbable, and I was high on Caribe, because Caribe was making his third start for Christoph. The horse used to be trained by Kieran, and he went into Christoph. So as soon as he went into Christoph's barn, he immediately improved him. And then he was coming off the pace. He was had an outside post at 5.5. So if you in Saratoga, the 5.5 furlong races, you know, the outside posts are much advantage. So I was really high in the last race. I knew I was going to be keying him on top. And then I got lucky underneath, you know, catching some horses underneath. So that sums it up in a nutshell.
I love it. You mentioned I'm a speed handicapper too. What when you say figs? Do you use premium figs or just using buyers? Using brisk numbers?
Yeah,
what do you like?
I'm so old school, you know. I'm so old school. So for me, it's you know, it's the racing form. I use the buyers, and I use you know, you happen to see you know, the horse is on the lead, and you know, like Tap It to Win. You know, he showed a lot of speed. But, you know, I didn't like the price on him, so unfortunately I left him out. But, yeah, just I'm big on the buyer numbers. You know, I see improvement on the buyer numbers. That's big for me.
Nice. I you know, you also, it's obvious, just kind of listening to your day, and this is one of the, you know, one of the pleasures of the challenge format, of the live money format, and why so many guys and women that play love this, because you can essentially, you know, make decisions on the fly, and you clearly can, you know, can structure bets. That, you know, it's one thing just to identify candidates, but you know, then building the tickets and putting the horses together and using the bankroll to advantage, that's an art in itself.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be patient, and, you know, you can't shoot your load early. You know, I happened to look, I think it was after three races, you know, there was like four or five people that were already at zero. So yeah. I'm like, oh, well, okay, yeah, they want to go all in early, that's fine with me, you know, because if they hit, yeah, they're going to be in a lead, and people are going to maybe panic to say, oh, I got to catch them. But never worry about the leaderboard, you know, the first five or six races, because, you know, once you make your hit, you're going to be up there, you know.
Talk about the big, in terms of NHC, what have you been an NHC qualifier?
No, you know, it's a trip to Vegas. I live in New York. I got two young kids. It's so many people. I know that's really difficult. So I never really targeted that one. But I do want to get there, because now, like, I feel like my game is at the next level. So I do want to get there, and I'm pretty sure I'll qualify. You know, I got 6 months left. Now I'm making more of a, an effort to play on Saturdays. During the week is tough for me. You know, I work full time. I got my kids. But now, like, since COVID, I've been able to get away on Saturdays to, you know, focus on horses on Saturday, and it's been working out pretty good.
What do you do?
I work for Verizon Wireless. I do corporate sales. I've been there for 15 years. So.
How about that? Nice.
Yeah. You know, so during the week, it's tough, you know, to play. I know they got contests,
sure,
or qualifiers, but, you know, I kind of avoid all that and, you know, just try and play on Saturdays is usually my big day. Once in a while, I can, you know, skate on a Friday, and usually Sundays I'm with the family. So, but, yeah, I'm looking forward to the NHC. Hopefully I can qualify. And have you heard anything? Are they going to allow fans for the Breeders' Cup?
They haven't said anything yet. The anticipation has been yes, but in fact we you know, we had the conversation which touched on this slightly with Bob Elliston, but you know, I think people are hopeful and expecting yes. I know Derby. Is still, you know, tracking toward patrons, but I don't know. I'm
kind of wait and see.
I got to tell you, and especially after what we saw you know, over the weekend, we saw some speculation that, you know, based on positives that, you know, that Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee may be experiencing a, you know, a spike. And it's such a difficult scenario.
Yeah, well, if that starts to happen, then you can't forget about it. But we'll
exactly.
see and hope for the best. Yeah, I'd love to get out to Keeneland. That would be great.
Well, do you play? Are you playing? Are you playing some pick and praise too, or do you prefer? Do you prefer the bankroll contest?
I mean, I play the pick and praise. I don't play them all the time because you know, there on the pick and praise, you gotta find the long shot because it's usually there's so many people playing that someone's gonna have that 25-1 shot that comes in. But I do play them. I hit for the Breeders' Cup a couple of years ago. I won a contest. I got a Breeders' Cup entry. So I'm going to try and get a second Breeders' Cup entry, probably on horse tourneys. And, probably play something this weekend. I mean, with the Travis card, he's usually a great card to play on. So.
Well, and I'm just trying to pull up, let's see, let's give everybody, while we're doing this, before we finish, I want to... have they changed it? The Sunday, we know about the Sunday contest. The Travers Day. It's not on the website. Yeah, there is. I'll reiterate too. You got the Sunday contests that close out Saturday. You enter Saturday up till 5 o'clock for the Sunday $250 buy-in. And it's funny, Clay Sanders, Marshall's partner with 10 Strike, you nipped Marshall, but then Clay Sanders came back on Sunday and he won the Sunday contest. So,
oh, nice.
It was kind of funny. Well, yeah, they had you know, it's funny. When you're watching the racing, Vince, you're thinking about storylines. I'm always thinking about what are we going to talk about on the show? And so I'm watching the Bowling Green, and here's Dot Matrix, who I thought had a real look and a real chance to win that Bowling Green. And Marshall is at that moment, Marshall's in front on the contest, on the Whitney contest. I'm thinking, oh, here's the story. Dot Matrix wins the Bowling Green and Marshall wins the contest. And then, Dot Matrix fades and then you catch Marshall. So it went from penthouse to outhouse.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I love it. I love it. How'd you fare with the storm? There were a lot of trees down at Belmont.
Yeah, I actually have no electric in my house right now. There was a lot of power lines out here, and I'm like 10 minutes from Belmont, so we're still waiting on power. The PSE&G is out here working on the lines, so hopefully sometime today we'll get our power back up.
And I also reached this morning. I was going to have Libby Imperio join us to talk about this week's fundraiser for the Belmont Child Care Association. And Libby says there's trees down all around. They've got no power. She has no. She's able to text. She said, but she's not having success with phone service. So I guess spotty.
That's too bad. Maybe you can give her my information. I'd be happy to make a small donation to them. I do give anything I win, I decide to give 10% away to charity. So
good for you, Vince.
I can add her to my list.
Really
I'm blessed
nice.
To have the opportunity to do this, and I always like to give away something, give back something. If you don't mind,
you got it. I will. I absolutely will.
To me.
You got it.
And the Travers. The Travers should be a great card this Saturday. So, looking forward to it.
Well, good luck.
I'm trying to go back to back.
Exactly, and we'll be watching for you as well to get that NHC seat. But in the meantime, set for at least one Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge seat and set for next spring at Belmont, and also $20,000 in the pocket, actually $30,000. A very, very successful Whitney Day, a memorable Whitney Day for Vince DiPaolo. Vince, stay safe, and I really appreciate the visit.
Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate the time today. Have a great one.
You too. Vince DiPaolo, everybody, and a Whitney Day, $10,000 on the bankroll, $21,000 in the purse, and then another $20,000 worth of prizes between the Belmont Betting Challenge in 2021 and this year's Breeders' Cup. It can happen to you. I love it. Let's take a break. Top of the hour upon us. The stream is fixed. Good job. Thanks to the streaming company. And thanks to Deja. Quick work on that front. Back after this, Sid Fernando joins us. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. We'll touch on a few of the performances and what it means for the various stallion prospects potentially. And we'll let Sid touch on Hattrick. But more importantly, we're going to be looking at that Travers Field. Talk about a mile and a quarter. Usually we're looking at mile and a quarter. mile and a quarter for the Derby months in advance. In this case, it's going to be 3 days in advance. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ah, Saratoga. It's history. It's tradition. It's world-class racing. It's jump racing. Yes, steeplechase racing has played a role in Saratoga's rich history and tradition since 1864. And today, it's a part of what makes Saratoga so special. Watch every Wednesday of the meet and two special Thursdays featuring the Grade 1 AP Smithick on July 23rd and the Grade 1 New York Turf Riders Cup on August 20th. Savor the thrill of horses flying over fences. Steeplechase racing, it's a Saratoga tradition.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I fell in love with your body and soul. My hands feel sticky and my head's eyes cold. My sugar tastes sour, my soul tastes sweet. I want to lay down, but I just can't sleep. It's your voodoo world. It's your voodoo world.
We're back. At the Races, hour two on this Wednesday, and nothing like a hurricane to bring about an absolutely gorgeous day. It took all the humidity with it, and sunny and clear, and absolutely delightful. And suppose it would be nice if we could go to the racetrack. and all of you could go to the racetrack, but we're just gonna ride it out. And down in Brooklyn, back after a trip to Pittsburgh that I saw,